In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters, in six short verses today from Matthew 11, Jesus accomplishes three things, at least, but three things to my eyes. He confronts, he reveals, and then he comforts. And it turns out that these three things go really well together, and it turns out that when Jesus is present as he is with us today, he does these three things faithfully and fully. Most often, to start with the first one, we need confronted simply because we think too highly of ourselves. As you think of that, thinking too highly of yourself or other people doing the same, and it's easier to see it in other people, isn't it? Right? As you think of that, I reflect and think that probably first of all, when that happens to us, it should be embarrassing to us when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. In fact, I can think of when I've seen this on TV time and again on a particular genre of show that I think once was more popular than it is now, but I want you to think of the singing contest type show, right? Early on in the auditions, you have somebody who knocks your socks off, but then they give you a whole bunch of the other, don't they? Somebody who thinks they're a great singer and yet can't hold a tune. I don't know, do some of you look away at that time? Is it uncomfortable for you? Or maybe you're drawn to it like a moth to the flame. But they offer us these people, and it should be embarrassing, shouldn't it? But they don't even seem to see it. And so it is with us as well. When we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, it probably ought to be embarrassing to us, and yet likely, oftentimes we simply miss it. Just like that singer thinks that they have a magnificent voice and are captivating all ears, and yet they can't hold a tune and they're wandering all over the musical scale, probably is so with us as well. It should be embarrassing to us, yet I suspect it rarely is. No, when we think too highly of ourselves, more often than the embarrassment factor is this. That when we think too highly of ourselves, oftentimes it brings hurt and harm to ourselves and others, because quite frankly, this isn't a singing contest. It's life. It's life. How about Romans 1:22? I heard it here in the space right over there a few weeks ago in our Romans study, but it comes to us again today. Romans 1:22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. They became fools who thought themselves to be wise. That's us. And that leads to the harm in our life and the lives of others. True? Yeah, I think so. And so Jesus confronts that first word today, the first of the three things he does. I love it. In this case, he confronts the hearers with a verbal loud prayer to his heavenly Father. He says this, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and you have revealed these things to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Jesus hides things from the wise and the understanding, but reveals them to little children. Uh-oh, we say. I've worked my whole life to leave my childhood. I'm kind of wise, you know, right? Right? We want to say to ourselves, does this mean that I'm on the outs? Indeed, this would be bad news for us. We would be on the outs if our God was a silent God. But he is not a silent God. He speaks to us, and he speaks to us two words. His first word is this, that he gives us his law, you know, you shall and you shall not. And whether we like that sort of thing or not, he gives his law. And whether we like it or not, it stings us. For, as was read for us by Brian from Romans 7 today, the good that we should do, we don't do perfectly, if at all. And the bad that we should avoid, Paul says something like this, to put it quickly and succinctly, we're neck deep in it, and there's no getting out. When you are a sinner like me, that law of God, it hurts. He's not silent, and yet this one word hurts. It sizes me right down and empties me of myself, and it leads me to cry out, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, God." The law sizes me down even to the stature of a small child. No longer am I a wise man in my own eyes when God speaks His law. But then at that point, having confronted us, our God now reveals Himself further to us. And the gospel begins. Starting at verse 27, Jesus continued, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son." Well, if he stopped there, there wouldn't be any good news. But he doesn't stop. He says, "And the other people who know me are those who the Son chooses to reveal Himself to. And the Father has revealed the Son, and the Son has revealed Himself, not just in the law, but now in a second word, in His coming into our flesh, in the cradle, in His teaching and walking with the disciples and on the cross. And momentarily, even in the tomb, He reveals Himself to us. But He's not in the tomb, is He? Or He's risen. In fact, I was thinking this. It's been a few weeks, if not months. How about this? Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And He continued to reveal Himself. On the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, to His disciples, He taught the disciples His Old Testament and how all the things written in there concerned Him and how He must go the way of death and resurrection. And then in the supper on that same day on the road to Emmaus, the day of His resurrection, He opened the eyes of the disciples in the supper, even as He will do again for us today in just a little bit. And through the revealed Son, we who have been cut down to the stature of children are now actually made dear children, beloved children, adopted children, forever children, with a loving and faithful God who is our Father. And the result of all of this is that, yes, though God's one word, His word of law is there, His word of confrontation, He doesn't just leave us with that. The God of confrontation has moved beyond to revelation, showing us Himself through Jesus Christ, His Son. And this Jesus Christ who comes to us comes and He comforts us. The last three verses of our text. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Looking around the room, I know you qualify for just that. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." On our own, we avoid confrontation. We avoid work, for goodness sake. We go about busying ourselves, entertaining ourselves, probably to avoid death even. Contemplation of it, if not death itself, good luck. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought on our own. And we've felt the heavy burden of being under poor masters, right? Anybody ever had a bad boss? Anybody? My boss isn't here today, so we can ask this question, all right? Yeah, poor masters. And we think then falsely that true freedom will come from being our own boss, belonging to ourselves. Yeah, or being true to ourselves, maybe. Being our own master and Lord, but this too is simply a new type of foolishness. But life in God through Jesus Christ is different. God confronts us with His law, but it's not for the sake of confrontation. It's for the sake of helping the sick to know that they are sick, and for the sick then to receive the healing of the great physician. It's for the sake of removing our false wisdom and making us dear children. And God accomplishes this through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this God does comfort us. He does make the sick well with forgiveness and life. By calling those who have been made small His own dear children. By making the dead alive. His certain promise to all who have trusted in His name. by taking those who have had terrible masters and becoming to them their loving master and Lord. All of this through Jesus. And so one more time, he says now to his saints, to you, his church, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Life with Jesus is now different for us. We are made a different kind of people. Instead of avoiding confrontation and diagnosis, we receive diagnosis because we know of the healing care of our great physician who is present and active with us. Instead of avoiding work, we work, and then we receive rest. Instead of avoiding death, we recall with gladness that our Christian life started with death, our death in baptism, and it went on to new life because this was the path of Jesus from the cross to the grave to the resurrection. And we have been baptized into Jesus in every single way. That each day, now our days are marked with death by the death of our old Adam. And that one day we will in fact die. We don't even hide from that fact anymore. We don't have to. For we know the God of the living now is the God who will raise us to new incorruptible life then. How exactly, though, do we recall all this with gladness? Because we know that Jesus is the God, indeed, of the living, and He has indeed baptized us into His death and into His life. And so today, He gives the same to us again. And He will do it each and every day. And even after we die, after our bodies die, He will once again and once for all, raise us to a new and better life. And so, as this new people that we are in Jesus, we don't even avoid death. Rather, every last day we pass through death with Jesus to new life. That is the yoke, the burden of this Master and this Lord Jesus. And I'd say it does sound rather light. Well, church, here we are at the end. I can say a few things to you. I can say this. Jesus loves you. He is with you. And He will never harm you. And with a Savior and a Master and a Lord like this, the one we have today, the one who has us, today will be a good day. Tomorrow will be a good day. The day of family celebration will be a good day. And even the day of tragedy will be a good day, because even on that day, Jesus will love us, He will not leave us, He will not harm us, and He will bring new life. And He will forever and always bring healing to the sick, forgiveness and absolution to the sinner, rest to the weary, life to the dead, home to the lost, and to the abandoned He will adopt as dear children, just as He has done for you and for me. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for all of this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And together we say, Amen.